The subject, as you can see from the title, is Yom Purim, Yom Kippurim. Some of what I'm going to share tonight, I had heard in a shiur from somebody who, if you've never heard of him, I recommend listening, if you can, a rabbi in Muncie named Rabbi Y.Y. Jacobson. If you've ever heard of him, a really tremendous Talmud Chacham and great speaker. Some of what I'm going to say comes from him. Let me go like this. So many of you are familiar with the concept of the title of the shiur, Yom Purim, Yom Kippurim. It is an idea that is mentioned in the Tikkuni Zohar. The Tikkuni Zohar is an appendix to the Zohar, but it's part of the Zohar. It's the second section, so to speak, of the Zohar. And it's also found in a sefer written by Rav Shneur Zalman of Liadi, known as the Balatanya. He wrote the Tanya. He died in 1812. He was the very first Rebbe of Chabad. And he also wrote a sefer that's at the top of the page called Torah Or. Torah Or is on the Chumash, and it's also on Chagim. And this is found in the Torah Or in his section about Esther. Megillat Esther is found at the end of Sefer Shmot, between Shmot and Vayikra. And it says like this, top of the page, V'hinei Purim v'yom ha-kipurim hu b'china achat. They really come, they're cut from the same cloth. Purim is ke Purim. In other words, Yom Kippur is a day that is like Purim. And Purim and Yom Kippurim is the same, parentheses, Yom Kippurim perusho kimo Purim. And much has been written on this subject. There are certainly similarities between these 2 days. We have the Goral, for example, on Purim. We also have the Goral in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the Kohen Gadol, and the Mishnah is very clear about how we have to make sure that the poor, the goral that's held on Yom Kippur, in the Azara, during the Avoda, one Seir Lashem and one Seir Lazazel, they had to be identical in size and weight and appearance, mamish identical. I'm not going to talk about this now, but there's a lot to say. Why would I do a lottery in random, in quotes? Why would I do something that appears random in the Azara on the holiest day of the year? How can that be? We're not going to talk about that. So much has been written about it. And there's other ideas and other comparisons. I don't want to talk about that. I would like to keep that in mind, Yom Purim and Yom Kippurim, and I'd like to ask a few questions about both Purim and about Yom Kippurim, and hopefully get to an understanding of where we are. So the next source. Everyone knows at least some of this Gemara. Everyone knows at least some of this Gemara. I'd like to learn it because, anyway, we should learn it. 2, I think some things may be chidushim. I still want to ask some questions. The Gemara says as follows, quoting a pasuk from Yitro. Vayityatzvu, right before Bnei Yisrael. Right, but see the brackets in the Gemara on the left? It's the Gemara on the left, and that's Rashi on the right. We're going to quote Rashi in a second. The Gemara's on the left. The pasuk comes. You all know this Gemara. It begins with a pasuk from Parshat Yitro, right before Bnei Yisrael received the Torah. The Torah says, "Vayit yatzvu b'tachtit hahar." They gathered under the mountain. It literally means we call it the foot of the mountain. Sometimes you can say we're at the bottom of the mountain. When we went on our Tiul a couple weeks ago, we were on the bottom of the mountain looking up at Mount Everest. We weren't underneath the mountain, we were at the bottom of the mountain. But the Gemara, of course, understands it a little differently. Amar Rav Avdimi, Bar Chama, Bar Chasa. Milameid Shekafa HaKadosh Baruch Hu Aleihem Et Ahar Kegigit. You remember this? You all know this. Kadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, flipped over, held over the mountain like a barrel, the mountains on top of their heads, v'yamar lahem, and he says to them, Im atem mekablim ha-Torah mutav. If you accept the Torah, amazing. V'im lav, sham tehek vuratchem. You all know this Gemara. Sham tehek vuratchem. Parentheses. What does it mean? Sham tehek vuratchem. It should be po tehek vuratchem. And that's not really the subject of tonight's talk, but you know, that's the great technique of the Yetzer Hara. The sham tehek vuratchem. Your kvura will be in the sham. Your kvura will be in the, okay, we'll get there. That's death. You have a change to make, you want to accept the Torah? Now. If you're not going to accept the Torah now, then your kvura, so to speak, will be in the sham. Okay, that's a drash, so to speak, on the Gemara, but we know this Gemara. Maybe we don't know the next couple lines in the Gemara. Amar Rav Acha Bar Yaakov. Based on what we just said, Mikan Muda'a Rabba Leoraita. From here, we have a great excuse straight out of the Torah. Emuda is an excuse. Emuda is a loophole. And says Rav Acha Bar Yaakov, you just gave people a great loophole. Why? Take a look at Rashi. On the right, it's underlined. Muda Rabba. What excuse did you just give every Jew in the world? She'im yazminem ladin. Because if they ever are called to justice, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, after 120 years, why didn't you daven better? Why didn't you bench better? Why didn't you check your mezuzahs more often? Whatever it is. Lama lo kiyamtem ma shekibaltem aleichem? Why didn't you keep what you accepted upon yourselves? Yesh lehem tshuva. I got an answer, God. Shekiblu habeones. You're telling me, kafa aleim harka gigis, God, it wasn't my choice. You forced me, so of course I didn't daven the way I was supposed to daven. Of course I didn't learn the way I was supposed to learn. You know, it's not a deal. A deal is not with a gun to your head. A deal is two consenting parties saying, I agree, you agree, and we're done. I want to buy the car, you want to sell the car. I didn't put a gun to your head. If I put a gun to your head, no court in the world would say it was a good deal. So muda'a rabba leoraita. Keep going. Amarava. Afal pichen. Nonetheless. Despite kafa aleim har kegigit, and despite that there's a muda rabba leoraita, hadur kibluha b'yemei achashverosh. There's no more muda rabba leoraita. Because, as you probably know this Gemara, I just don't know if you knew it was connected, that they went back, hadur. They went back, and they accepted it upon themselves, B'nai Yisrael did, not a day later, B'mei HaChashverosh. Dichtiv, as it says in Megillat Esther, Perek Tet, Kiyemu v'kiblu ha-Yehudim, the Jews accepted upon themselves. What did they accept? They kiyemu v'kiblu, they established and they accepted. Says the Gemara, Kiyemu Masha Kiblu Kvar, four words. Kiyemu, they upheld, they kept, they fortified Ma Shekiblu Kvar. So whatever problem, and I'll say that in quotes, God knows what he was doing, but whatever problem people saw in the way the Torah was given at Har Sinai, that was erased. There is no more Mudal Rabba Leoraita. Because in the days of Achashverosh, in the days of Purim, in the days of Esther, Kiyemu Ma Shekiblu Kvar. They accepted upon themselves that which they already accepted back at Har Sinai. Question number one is, what is the connection between Purim and Kiyemu Ma Shekiblu Kvar? And what is the connection between Purim and Kiyemu V'Kiblu and Matan Torah? What happened on Purim? What is it about Purim that made us accept the Torah and now there's no more Muda Rabba Leoraita? That is question number one. In order to understand that a little bit better, I'm actually going to change gears. It's not a huge change, because we do say that we're talking about Yom Purim and Yom Kippurim, but I'd like to change gears. And I want you to go back in time to where you were many months ago in Elul and in Tishrei. Long time ago. Remember those days? Long time ago. And I want to share with you some ideas that absolutely could be and should be shared in Elul and Rosh Hashanah and Aseret Yemei Tshuva and Yom Kippur. But I actually think it's all year round these need to be shared, and certainly around this time of year. Okay? So let's leave Purim for a couple of minutes and let's go back and relive Yamim Noraim. Okay? Question number two for tonight, but question number one in this new topic. The next source down. You know that in the days of the Mikdash, and coming up again tomorrow, Mitzvah Hashem once again, you know that on Yom Kippur, in the Beit HaMikdash, the star of the show, the star of the human show, is the Kohen Gadol. And the Avodah is complex, and he learned it his whole life, and for 7 days he reviewed, and there was a practice set of Kalim to practice, and it was really hard, and there were three Avodot that a Kohen had to do, which were the hardest of all, and one of them was on Yom Kippur. The juggling, he needed three hands, he didn't have three hands. Very, very difficult with the machta and the Kodesh HaKadoshim and the incense and the fire and laying it very, very hard. There were two other jobs that the Kohanim had to do that were really, really hard. That was the kemitza, the fistful, handful of flour. That was one of the three most hard jobs in the Beit HaMikdash. And the other one was called malika, which if you have a little queasy stomach, you may not want to hear about it, but it's basically shechting, and I'm saying that in quotes because it's not shechting, but it's shechting a bird for a bird korban. And it had to be done in a very unique way. My stomach is not yet ready for it, but I'm sure when the Beit HaMikdash is built tomorrow, I'll be able to get Mitzvah Hashem. I'll be able to... What's it? Today? Tonight? Tonight still. Tonight. That's a long discussion. Right now. Anyway, we know that the Kohen Gadol worked very hard on Yom Kippur, coming out and going in and changing clothes and the mikvah and his hands and his feet and very, very hard. We also know that at the end of the day, he came out and had a big party. Remember that? Mare Kohen, yeah? Before Mare Kohen, but after the Avodah, the Gemara in Masechet Yuma Daf Nun Gimel tells us that he gave a certain tefillah. Now, and that tefillah is what you and I say. We say it on Yom Kippur during the Avodah. Sfaradim and Ashkenazim say this tefillah in what the Kohen Gadol used to say. And the Kohen Gadol said exactly what you'd expect him to say. After coming out of the Beit HaMikdash, he davened. He davened to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for things that you'd expect him to daven for. Peace and prosperity and inner shalom and shalom with our neighbors. And it's a long tefillah. I quoted a little bit of it in the next source down. Yehi ratzon milfanecha Hashem Elokeinu v'Elokei Avoteinu. Shetehei hashana hazot haba'a aleinu v'al kol amcha Beit Yisrael. Shnat otzarcha hatov tiftach lanu. And by the way, it's an aleph bet. Starting in the next one, through the aleph bet. Shnat osem, shnat bracha, shnat gzeirot tovot milfanecha, etc. And then there's one line there at the very end which seems to be completely out of place. Shana, we want this to be a year. Shelo tapil isha et pri vitna. That a woman, God forbid, should not miscarry. Shelo tapil isha et pri vitna. Now, obviously, this is a tefillah that we all should say and all should daven for everybody who's pregnant and will be pregnant. And it's a beautiful tefillah. It just seems really out of place. How about a shana where people can have children? How about a shana where people can have healthy children? How about a shana where our children don't, God forbid, you know, nothing happens to them after they're born? Just a very strange thing. Shana shalo tapil isha et pri vitna. And that's question two, and question three is very connected, and it comes from our parsha. Our parsha, in Parshat Mishpatim, at the end of the parsha, when Hashem lists the reward, it's at the very end of the parsha, when Hashem lists all of the brachot that we will receive in Mitzvah Hashem by listening to him and his malach, whatever that means, one of the things that he says, and you can look, take a look in your Chumash, open up the Chumash if you want, to Perek Chaf Gimel Pasuk Chaf Vav, Lo Tihyeh Mishakela Va'akara B'Yartzecha. Mishakela with a kaf, not a kuf, a kaf. In modern Hebrew, Rachman Litzlan, a mishpacha shkula, with a kuf. With a kuf means, I guess, a balanced family. I don't know what that means, or a worthy family, but that's not what it means. Shana shkula, mishpacha shkula in modern Hebrew means a family whose one of their children died, either from war, like a soldier, or terrorism. It's throughout Tanakh. And here also, and Hashem says, don't worry, that when, if you listen to what I say, lo tihyeh mishakela v'yakara b'artzecha. So the word is mishakela. So if already the Kohen Gadol is going to daven for no miscarries, and Rashi on that pasuk, if you haven't gotten to it yet, tells us that a mishakela is someone whose child dies or in or out of the womb. So in other words, miscarry also. So then why didn't the Kohen Gadol say Shana Shelo Tihyeh Meshakela? Why specifically the words Shana Shelo Tapil Ishat Et Pri Bitna? That's question number three. So are you with me? Okay. Question number four is not a strong question, but it's going to become stronger in a little bit. In Sephardi shuls and in Ashkenazi shuls, you may remember on, not Yom Kippur anymore, we're going to shift back to Rosh Hashanah. You may remember that we blow the shofar during in Ashkenazi shul, during the repetition of the Shemona Esrei, in Sephardi shuls during your silent Shemona Esrei. But either way, when the shofar is blasted, at the end of that, we say, what is the next source on the page? Hayom haras olam. Remember that? Hayom yamid b'mishpat im kevanim im kevanim. Remember that? It's bringing you back. It's bringing you back. Hayom harat olam. I did a lot of research. I looked in the art scrolls machzor, and I looked in the Koren machzor. And the art scroll machzor translates Hayom harat olam to mean today is the birthday of the world, Rosh Hashanah. And the Koren machzor translates it as this day is the birth of the world. Slight difference. We can do a whole study on that. Beautiful difference. And it makes sense. There is one opinion in the Gemara, and it seems like this is who we hold, like that the world was created on or near what we call Rosh Hashanah. What's strange though is that Hayom Harat Olam really doesn't mean birth. It really, what does Hayrayon mean?
Pregnancy.
Pregnancy. So, this is not a strong question yet, but I'd like to make it stronger in a few minutes. I just want to put that in the back of your head. I'm calling this question number four because we'll put it as a bookmark to say something's odd, because Hayom Harat Olam and the English Machzorim, but the truth is, even way before, Art Scroll and Koren didn't make it up. All the Mefarshim on the Machzor do translate it like that. And I'm just asking why, because it doesn't mean birth. It means pregnancy. Today is the pregnancy of the world. Doesn't seem to make sense in English, but it is curious, and we'll come back to that. Question number five is a question that I'm sure that everyone has asked themselves, and that comes to the next source down. Look familiar? You almost, I don't know, maybe you're different. I've had the zechut, I think... I've had the zechut of davening on Yomim Noraim for 20 years, Baruch Hashem, for 20 years, Baruch Hashem. That's where I was on Yom Kippur also. And I've davened a various tefillot. I think there isn't a tefillah that I haven't davened except Musaf. I don't think I could do, well, we could do anything we want, but I don't think currently I'm able to do Musaf on Yom Kippur. But anyway, but I've davened Kol Nidre before, so have you. I mean to say as a chazan, I davened Kol Nidre. And maybe that's different, you and me are different, but I can't even read these words. You're like, Kol Nidre, Mesare, Meshure. I have to read them. How do you read them? Kol Nidre. It's such a takes your breath away. Everybody's wearing white, and we're beginning the fast, and it's nervous energy. It's also one of the happiest days of the year. Whatever that means, we're not going to talk about that tonight, but it's powerful and white. And by the way, if you may remember, we take the Torahs out of the Aron Kodesh. Or Zaru Alat Tzadik. Oh my gosh, it's chillworthy, isn't it? Chillworthy? Oh my gosh. What's amazing is that if I got up, I didn't daven Kol Nidre. The last couple years I've been davening Ne'ilah. But if I daven Kol Nidre, I got up in Shul, and I said Kol Nidre in English. So aside from the fact that they would throw me off, but this is the power. This is the opening act. This is how we're opening Yom. You thought of this before, right? You thought of it. This is, you know what Kol Nidre means? Yeah. Let me see if I could do this. I can't do the whole thing, but I'll do, you know. I can't even do a little bit of it. I have to think of this for a second. I'm singing the Art Scroll translation. All vows, prohibitions, and oaths, and consecrations. That is a snooze fest. the highlight of the day is, you know, and our oaths shall be invalid. That's like, yeah, that's what it feels like. I expect the curtain to come down and Tevye and Huddle to come out in a... What? That's it? Kol Nidre? And I may remind you that we've already done Hataras Nadarim. So this, and there's no baiting here. Yeshiva Shel Mal, there's no baiting here. So what is this Kol Nidre? You've asked this question before. I hope you've asked this question before. And there's many answers. I want to share one answer. Anyway, so these are our five questions. Question number one, we said, what is the connection between Purim and Kimu V'Kiblu and Matan Torah? Question two is, of all tefillot that the Kohen Gadol should say after his avoda, he says, Shalot tapil isha pri bitna. Seems, I mean, it's a beautiful thing, but it just doesn't seem in the right context. Question number three was, why doesn't it say Meshakela? Why specifically pri bitna? That's a strange concept. Number four, Hayom Harat Olam, today is the pregnancy of the world, but nobody understands it that way. What is the message then? Why would Hayom Harat Olam mean? It does mean that. I'm not saying Art Scroll is wrong. I'm not saying Koran is wrong. I'm not saying any payer. It's right. I'm just asking, why is it right? What is the message? And question number five, I'm not going to do it again, but I mean, Kol Nidre does not seem to be the perfect... It seems like something you should do before Yom Kippur. And then we'll start with something else. You know what I mean? Some of the piyutim that we say after Shemon Esrei are, you know, beautiful and really, you know, tear-worthy, but not Kol Nidre. Okay. To begin answering the questions, I'd like to share an idea from the Pachad Yitzchak. It's the next source down. The Pachad Yitzchak was written by Rav Yitzchak Huttner. Rav Yitzchak Huttner died in 1980. He was the Rosh Yeshiva in Brooklyn of Chaim Berlin. Rav Yitzchak Huttner, you should know, Rav Aaron Lichtenstein said that he had three primary Rebbeim in his life. You could probably for sure guess at least one of them. Who was Rav Soloveitchik? How was Rav Lichtenstein and Rav Soloveitchik related?
Father-in-law.
Yafeh. Rav Lichtenstein married Rav Soloveitchik's daughter. She should live and be well. She's still alive, Baruch Hashem, and well. She should continue to live and be well. Tibada l'chaim tovim marukim. So anyway, so one of his Rebbeim was Rav Yosef Dov Soloveitchik. One of his major Rebbeim. Anyone else know? Rav Aaron Soloveitchik. I did have the zechut of meeting him and learning with him a little bit. I wasn't in his shir. Rav Yosef Ber I never saw. But Rav Aaron Soloveitchik I had the zechut to meet and to learn with. And I'm not saying in order, but one of his Rebbeim was Rav Yitzchak Huttner. Rav Yitzchak Huttner, he spent some time in Chaim Berlin, and he says, so the Pachad Yitzchak, Rav Yitzchak Huttner, Zeichet Tzadik Livracha, we have a lot of them.
Over there,
thank you. We have a lot of them, and what I'm quoting from is over this. So we have Pachad Yitzchak, so I'm quoting from Purim. quoting from Purim, it's called Inyan Yud Aleph. There's Inyan Yud, and there's Inyan Yud Bet. This is Inyan Yud Aleph. Let's try to learn this together and quickly if we can. Oro Shel Davar Zem, on line one. The light on these questions of, he's referring specifically to Kafa Aleihem Har Kegigit, he's referring specifically to Muda'a Rabba Leoraita, says Rabbi Yitzchak Kuttner, Oro Shel Davar Zeh Ganuzu, the light, the answer, so to speak, for this whole question is hidden ba'uvda, is hidden in the fact, Ki Purim Hu Yom Bitul Hamuda'a Rabba Leoraita. Purim is the day where we cancel out, we undo, we erase this muda rabba leoraita, this excuse that we theoretically can have. I'm not saying it's a legitimate excuse. God knows what he's doing. But somebody in their twisted mind would say, God, I'm in the clear because I never accepted the Torah. Purim is no such thing. Mashmauta shel mudahi. What is the meaning of a muda, an excuse, a loophole? Sheha Adam Hamoser Muda'a, a person who transmits, who gives, who displays a Muda'a, To'ein, I'm on line three. This person claims, Ki Hama'aseh Shehu Asa, that the act that he did, whatever the act was, God, you asked me why I ate a cheeseburger? I'll tell you why. Lo Na'aseh Al Yedei Ha'ani Shelo Ha'atzmi. It wasn't done by the me. It wasn't done by the real me. Ela mitoch gormim chitzoniim sheichrichu oto lakach. Says Rav Huttner, that's what a muda is. A muda is a halachic concept. It's not just in this Gemara. You're asking me why I ate a cheeseburger? Because I had a gun to my head. It wasn't me. It wasn't who I am really. External gormim chitzoniim, external causes, caused me to do that. Not me, really. Ulu umadze, I'm the end of line four, as opposed to bitul muda'a. What does it mean to erase a muda'a? Perush o hu lehefech. It's the exact opposite. Sheha adam hamivatel. I hereby cancel out my muda'a. I cancel out my excuse. I erase my loophole. She'adam ha-mevatel ta'anat muda, mashmi'enu, he is letting us know. She'adavar hazeh she'na'aseh kan, the thing that I'm doing now, here, na'asa hu davka mitoch nekudat ha'ani bimlo cheruto apnimit. If you cancel out a muda, if you cancel out an excuse, it's because I'm saying that what I am doing now is a full expression of the me. I did this fully. Did you do this by force? Oh, then it wasn't you. It's not me. When I did that, it wasn't me. A gun was held to my head. A mountain was sticking over my head. It wasn't me. But when I cancel the muda, I'm saying it was fully, fully me. Full freedom. Now go to line eight. V'yom ha-purim. She'anu danin oto le'yom bitul hamuda rabba leoraita. And if we're going to say that Purim is the day where we cancel out this excuse, where we undo this loophole, perushohu, what does it mean? She'biyom ze anu makirim bivhirut ubirut. We recognize, you and me and all of Klal Yisrael recognize fully and clearly, Ki ha na'aseh v'nishma shayachu le'etzem ha'nekuda shel havayatenu ha'atzmutit. What are we declaring? We declare that na'aseh v'nishma that was said in this week's parsha, that the na'aseh v'nishma that was said was not said because of external forces, was not said because a gun was at my head, was not said because a mountain was over my head. It was said because it came to the very core of who I am. I agree from the depths of my heart, from the bottom depths of my soul, I accept Na'aseh v'nishma 11 v'nimtza dehakiblu bepurim And therefore it comes out, line 11, that the kiblu, kimu bekiblu, kimu masha kiblu kvar, the kiblu of Purim machrizu announces, ki ani, hu, ha'ish, sheme etzem ritzoni nishbati bahar Sinai, naaseh v'nishma. Do you know what I do on Purim? Purim is the day where I declare to myself, to God, that I fully, fully, free will explored my depths, understood who I am and where I'm going, and I say, naaseh v'nishma. It's an undoing, it's a bitul of the muda. So the avoda on Purim then is to get to know the ani within us. The avoda on Purim is to ask the question, what do I really want? What do I stand for? It's a happy day. So is Purim. I mean, so is Yom Kippur, I mean. It's a happy day. Because now, through self-honesty and self-integrity and through authentic introspection, I tell myself who I really am. I reveal who I really am. I tell you and I tell God and I tell myself who I really am. On Purim, the mask comes off. On Purim, the identity is revealed. One of the reasons why we dress up, there is an idea in the holy books about dressing up. You see it all in every community, a little strangely, a little differently, because we are reminding ourselves that we really dress up all year round. We are in costume all year round. And we all know, I'm sure you know this, and if you don't, if you do, it's great chazara, and if you don't, you should know it now, that you know the word beged comes from the word bogade. What does bogade mean? Bogade means a traitor. Yafeh, exactly. We know that the word beged comes from the word bogade, a traitor. Another English word for a traitor is a turncoat. Isn't that interesting? A turncoat. A traitor. What we wear on the outside, certain clothing, our shoes, and ladies, even our smiles, are sometimes traitorous, sometimes they are not honest. They are not honest with the people that we interact with. They're not necessarily honest with the people that we meet. And if we trick ourselves for long enough and strongly enough, they become traitors even to ourselves all year round. And Purim is the time to strip away all those lies, all those big gadim, and all those bogdim, all those traitors in us. No more lying to ourselves. No more pretending. Purim is a serious day and a happy day. Yom Kippur is a serious day and a happy day, where we declare naaseh v'nishma, but for real and from within. No more muda leoraita, no more muda lerabim. We are giving no more excuses. And this brings us to the questions of Hayom Harat Olam, and it brings us to Kol Nidre. First, we're going to do Yom Harat Olam. We asked the question about Rosh Hashanah, and that we translate for some reason Hayom Harat Olam is today is the birthday of the year. But that expression of Harat Olam comes in the most unlikely place. This is the most fascinating thing. Harat Olam appears, it's borrowed from the Tanakh, and it's the last source on the page. Sefer Yirmiyahu Perek Chaf, you all know that Yirmiyahu Hanavi had a very hard life. People didn't believe him. He was in jail. He was cursed and spit upon. And in this, in Perek Chaf, Yirmiyahu's complaining. And it's very graphic what I'm about to read, but listen carefully to the context. Says Yirmiyahu Hanavi, Arur hayom asher yuladati bo, Yom asher yuladatani imi, Al Yehi Baruch. Cursed is the day that I was born. Cursed is the day that my mother gave birth to me. It shouldn't be a blessing. Tetvav. Arur Ha'ish. Cursed be the man. Asher Bisar et Avi Lemor. Cursed is the man who brought the news to my father, who said, Yulad lecha ben zachar, sameach simchahu. Cursed is the man who brought this news to my father, telling him, oh, it's a boy, mazel tov. That person should be cursed. Tetzain. V'haya ha'ishahu. And it shall be, that person shall be. Let him become. Ke'arim asher hafach Hashem. That man should receive the same thing that cities received, that were overturned by God, destroyed by God. Velo nicham, and Hashem didn't have any mercy. V'shama zi'aka baboker utrua be'etzaraim. Let him hear a cry in the morning and a cry or an alarm in the afternoon. Pretty powerful, no? Yudzayin. Asher lo motetani me'rechem. You know why that person should be cursed? Ladies, this is really shocking and a little graphic. Asher lo motetani me'rechem, because he didn't kill me in the womb. Vatehili ima kivri. I wanted for my mother to be my grave. Virachma, and her womb, harat olam. That's, harat olam means forever pregnant, never giving birth. Let's one more pasuk, just so we get the picture. Lama ze meirechem yatsati. Why did I even come out of the womb? Lirot amal viagon, to see toil and to see pain. V'yichlu bevoshet yamai, that my days, why did I come out of the womb, that my days should be lived out with boshet, with shame. Whew. That's not as much fun anymore. Hayom arat olam. That's not such a great, that's where this comes from. And what's going on? Hayom harat olam comes from this. It comes from, I wish I remained, says Yirmiyahu, I wish I remained, or my mother remained, eternally pregnant. Harat was supposed to be what means pregnant, and they took it as birth. Olam was supposed to be forever. Harat olam means forever pregnant, never giving birth to the world. Hayom harat olam is the birth of the world versus pregnant forever. What message is the Machzor trying to tell us? Every one of us makes a choice on Rosh Hashanah. Every one of us makes a choice in the beginning of the year. Will this be the year that we will be born? Will we turn this year of Harat Olam, will it become the birthday of the world? Which is what we translate, because this is what we want, and this is our hope, and this is our tefillah. But you have to, in the back of your mind, know that it comes from this. That's the message that was being conveyed to us, or a message that was being conveyed to us in the Machzor. We are all pregnant with dreams and aspirations and possibilities and hopes. And we say, is this going to be the year that my dreams will be born? That my aspirations will see the light of day? Is this the year that my goals, that my hopes will see fruition? Pre-bitna, peirot doesn't only mean fruit, it means the fruit of our labors. Shelo tapil isha pre-bitna. It's on purpose, not meshakela. Meshakela literally means a female who, chas v'shalom, was, you know, miscarried. But the message of the Kohen Gadol is not just that. It's much more global. Is this the year that my goals will be born? Or will they miscarry like they did last year? Will they remain hidden? Will they remain unborn? Never to see the light of day? And that is what the Kohen Gadol is saying. Shelo tapil pri bitna. It's a poetic hint, a profound reference to our dreams. We want our dreams to come forth. Or will they not? And Purim is the time of year. And it's not just in seminary, it's in every year of our lives, but also in seminary. To think about all the things that we wished for a year ago. A year ago you were all accepted and you all had plans to come to seminary and you had grand plans. And where are you going next year? I'm going, and I'm so excited and I'm going to learn a million things and I'm going to be the perfect davener and I have a million dreams. And they were true and they were real. And now the question is, are we able to bring those dreams and bring those hopes? Or is this another year of Chas v'Shalom she'tapil isha bet pri bitna? And Purim is this time of year where we shed ourselves of the muda'a rabba li'oraita, where we get rid of the excuses. There's no more excuses. I need to find out who I am. And I need to find out what I really want, not what people say that I want, and not what the world thinks I want, and not what I was told by my teachers, who I am. Yom Kippur takes the mask off. And that, ladies, on one level, and there's many levels, I'm just talking about one level, one angle, one perspective, that's Kol Nidre. That's Kol Nidre. Every year we tell ourselves who we are, and we tell ourselves who we are not. We tell ourselves what we can do, and we tell ourselves what we cannot do. We bind ourselves with chains, with weights, chains that God did not create, and your parents did not create, and your community did not create. You created them. I created them. We created these chains, these weights that are sinking us down, that are dragging us down. They prevent our ambitions from being born. They prevent our hopes and dreams and plans of becoming from becoming a reality. And we make promises to ourselves. Promises. I am not that kind of person who, and you can fill in your own blank. I am the kind of person who always, and fill in the blank. I am not the person who finds meaning in tefillah. I don't find meaning in tefillah. Tefillah is not for me. I am not a person who enjoys singing. Singing is not for me. Singing is not for me. I am only turned on by Hasidus. I am not turned on and impacted by Hasidus. Not me. You go to some amazing shiurim as recently as today. That's not me. Who said that was not you? Who said that wasn't you? You said it wasn't you. That was an oath. That was a vow, so to speak, that you took. All these promises that we make to ourselves, all these vows that we make to ourselves, all these promises that we make about ourselves weigh us down. They prevent us from becoming the me that I can be, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says I can be. And so on Yom Kippur, it is a profound and powerful tefillah. Kol Nidre, my promises that I made about myself are not promises. There's no baiting here. There's no ataras. They're not promises. I threw them away. It's muda rabba leoraita, out the window. The prohibitions that I've made on myself, that's not me. I don't stay for Mishmar. That's not me. It's not me. Never will be me. Don't try to. Who says? My oaths that I made about myself are not oaths. We say on Yom Kippur with the kittels and the Torahs and the solemnity and the fasting and the excitement and the nervousness, we do in fact say Kol Nidre. We say everything I said about myself, I am throwing out the window. And my promises, remember the last line, and my promises are not promises. I didn't say it. It's a form of Atarat Nadarim between me and me. It's between me and my neshama, between me and God. It's a new slate. white. I am not bound by my self-confining definitions. I am not bound by my miscarried dreams. My dreams and my hopes can come true, and the vision that I have for myself is attainable. And so I think it's an opportunity for you and for me tonight and next week. It's Rosh Chodesh already, Sunday, Monday, and next week, and the week after, all the way to Purim and beyond Purim, and through Pesach until this coming Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur and beyond. I think it's important to take a minute, not just to put this in your notebook and walk away, but to use this time as an opportunity to rid ourselves of the shackles, to finally look in the mirror and say, have I been doing what I said I was going to do? Have I become who I thought I was going to become? And that's a great joy when I'm able to free myself of all this baggage and weight. Of course Purim is an incredible day. Of course Yom Kippur, Kippurim, is an incredible day. It's an incredible day because I'm becoming me. I'm finally becoming me. Finally, not wearing my bogdim, not wearing my bigadim, but being me for really me. On Yom Kippur we wear a kittel. Men wear a kittel. We wear white. We don't have any preconceived, nothing. We start afresh. And if we start afresh on Yom Kippur, we can start afresh on Yom Purim also. And in Mirtzah Hashem, we should be Zocha to recognize ourselves, to free ourselves from the Nadarim that we've made, and in Mirtzah Hashem, to become really, really the me that we want to become. Have a good evening, everybody.